Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast that may have bitten off more than it can chew. My name is Jeremy.
I don't know why I got sardines on my pizza. I'm Tyler.
That's a very new intro there, Jeremy. And my name is Zach. And I may need another woodchuck, I think.
All right.
I did offer before we started recording, to be fair.
I know, but I think I might need another one of these.
Well, we are continuing with our list. Before we get started, the top is currently Super Metroid, followed by Castlevania Symphony of the Night, and then the original Castlevania.
And then Doom?
Yes, and then Doom. bottom of the list is Ghosts and Goblins, just above Phantasy Star, and Classic We Hate, Double Dragon.
You know, I'm kind of surprised that Ghosts and Goblins is on the bottom.
Is Why? On the bottom or isn't?
Is.
I mean, it's not at the very bottom. It's oh, the third. It's third from the bottom.
It's third. Okay, gotcha. Never mind. Never mind.
In the middle, we have Strider, above Castlevania II, Simon's Quest, above Kirby's Adventure.
Those are all pretty middle-of-the-road games, so... Is Castlevania II the middlest of our list right now?
Oh, we have an odd number, or it would be.
Okay.
If we had one fewer, it would be.
Wouldn't it, yeah, on an odd number, wouldn't it
exactly.
be the only one that could be a middle road?
Oh, you're right. no, Kirby's Adventure is exact middle.
Okay. Yeah, no, that is the exact middlest of all things.
All right. So we left off last time with Altered Beast, a very meme-worthy game. So we're starting out with Welcome to Die!
The
X-Men arcade
game. I forgot about this
game.
This game was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. It was so bad, though.
I am Magneto, good. Master of Magnet. Oh, you are nothing!
The voice acting makes us so good.
Yeah, I know.
His lines are great. Welcome to Die and Master of Magnet. Magnetism? No, Magnet. This one.
I know
how it works and everything.
It's a pretty okay game. It's probably the best beat 'em up on the list so far.
Arguably.
It's got 4-player co-op. Is
six-player co-op, even.
Yeah, but that's a little bit more difficult.
And the terrible, like, quotable voice acting, and it's colorful.
And it's got throws, and you can attack people on the ground, and mutants have different powers.
I mean, really, the problem this game suffers is the problem I feel all beat-em-ups suffer, in that it's just kind of a boring game in general.
Well, it also has one of the other things that I can think of is that some of the characters are pretty
overpowered. That is true. There is definitely a tier list to the six-character roster.
Dazzler! All right. So if you think it's boring, let's start it at another boring game, Kirby's Adventure.
I better. It.
Yeah, I think it's better than Kirby's Adventure. It's got more X-Men in it.
It's got better quotes.
That is true. I mean, what are Kirby's notable quotes?
Hi. Kirby, you screwed everything up. Now go fight that nightmare beast.
We have to send our Chthonian horror to fight the other Chthonian horror.
And it's actually the Chthonian horror that banished Kirby to that planet to begin with. It's very fitting.
All right.
He's an adorable Chthonian horror.
Next, Castlevania II, Simon's Quest.
I would prefer X-Men.
It is more multiplayer and more quotable. It doesn't have quite the complexity, but I think it's a little more fun.
Yeah. On the basis of it being more fun, I actually think despite Castlevania 2 using Castlevania's very well-tuned platforming system, I actually think that the mechanics of X-Men work better.
So above that, we have Strider, and I think it's way better than Strider.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah.
not nearly as floaty, and it's more multiplayer. Then we have Pokemon Snap.
I have more fun with Pokemon Snap.
Honestly. I would have to say I prefer X-Men.
I think I prefer X-Men too. It's close, but... X-Men's fun. It's also short like Pokemon Snap.
Tis true.
But it also benefits from having multiplayer, and Pokemon... we beat it on before we did the recording.
Pokemon is Snap is definitely more replayable, but I think I prefer X-Men just a little bit.
Fair enough. I mean, we played this one like 4 times.
I won't
we
argue
had
too hard.
Me,
I played twice.
No, you, me, and Kevin and Cody.
Yeah, I played it. And then we played it with Tyler, I thought.
Yeah.
It's twice.
Oh, I thought we played it again one other time. I might have played it again.
I did it with my brother again, but that was after we recorded. Next, Super Mario RPG. Definitely a more complex game with a better story.
I argue for Super Mario RPG in terms of, I mean, it's a more engaging game for me at the very least. I got bored with X-Men even while playing it with you guys, so.
I think Super Mario RPG is a more engaging game. If you locked me in a room with the three of you and we had to play a game, I'd choose X-Men. But if you locked me in a room with anybody I didn't know or nobody, I would play Super Mario RPG. Jimmy. All right, X-Men. Above Pokemon Snap, below Mario RPG. Okay. Next, another one of those simple mastery games that would be good on a phone these days. Punch-Out.
I like Punch-Out, but I don't know that it's a great game.
Right, I pretty much agree. It's fun. It's a good test of your reflexes, and you get better at it.
I don't know that I'm ever going to go play it again, though, because I played it once.
We played it.
Yeah, there's also that. It's also not a terribly memorable game. I'm surprised it got a sequel. I'm surprised Little Max in Smash.
He's a good character for that, though. All right.
I don't think it's that great. It's not bad.
Yeah.
It's really bad that you didn't play Kirby's Adventure, Zach, because it is so easy as a starting line.
It is such a middle-of-the-road game. I actually rate it below Kirby's Adventure.
Really?
It is the best boxing game that I've played for the Super Nintendo.
Just for the NES.
Or the NES.
Or the NES. Honestly, that's probably accurate. So.
The second best boxing game I've played.
I felt it was more engaging than Kirby's Adventure. It's definitely not as pretty. It doesn't have as much going on. But like that one thing you keep doing is more fun to me than Kirby floating.
Body blow. Body blow.
Oh, no. Kirby has so much more variety. You have so much more ways you can interact with the environment.
Suck somebody up and spit them back out at somebody else.
You have slide kicks.
Or jump up. Yeah, you can slide kick. You can just fly over them.
You can inflate yourself just like a balloon and then shoot air at someone.
The variety in Kirby raises it above Punch-Out for me, but I'm willing to hear arguments to the contrary.
No, I think I'll give it. It goes below Kirby. Next is Final Fantasy. Final Fantasy has a lot more going on, but slowly. It
suffers from being too slow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, not even like plot wise too. So I actually the plot in Final Fantasy II is it suffers from so many mechanical problems. The story's not really that great, although it was interesting at the time.
Isn't it just rescue the princess?
I mean, it's basically a really prolonged fetch quest. So
oh god.
Then you go rescue the elves, and then the guy who kidnapped the princess at the start is the ultimate evil bad guy who sold his soul to Double Satan, and you have to defeat the Double Satan down.
Use the Phoenix down.
I mean, if he's undead, that would work, but I don't think he is. What were we talking about?
Is Punch-Out better than Final Fantasy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
All of our favorite Final Fantasy tropes from Final Fantasy X.
All right, next, a very fun game, one that came out of nowhere for us, that I think is going to be hard to rate, because it's just really big, and some of it's great, some of it sucks.
Harvest Moon 64?
Uncharted Waters, New Horizons.
Oh, God, oh, yeah. This game was amazing.
The trading mechanics are really fun. It's got the worst combat in A.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is what I really love the concept of it, but since I tried playing the pirate lady.
Me too.
First off, I didn't do any of the I first tried playing the Turk, who doesn't start with a ship, making it really hard to get started with.
What? How?
The Turkish guy, first you have to get your ship.
How?
Like, you have to accumulate, like, investors and stuff.
Huh.
To get your ship.
And that's actually kind of neat, but I feel like that's not a great way to start. I feel like that's not a first guy's journey to play through.
Yeah, like no, with Ogre Battle, this has problems of, like, doesn't really give you a very good start. It's cool in that you have six different characters who have six different goals, and so it's got a lot of replayability in that.
I like the idea behind it, the fact that you can either go trading like Jeremy did, or be a pirate like me and Tyler tried to be and fail, or do both.
Or just map the world. One character just wants to map the world.
I really like that aspect and the fact that they have all these things in it, but the combat was bad. Let's be honest.
It's bad.
The combat was bad, especially the dueling mechanic being rock, paper, scissors had no discernible way of noting when you could actually take advantage of it.
And the broadside combat isn't much better.
So it's okay. The broadside is definitely way better than dueling, although the easiest way to win a battle is a duel. So, did I tell you guys how the pirate lady's quest ends? She's, like, basically fighting the Illuminati up the Amazon.
Yeah, that's how my guy's character's quest ends, too.
You
team
play
up
Zhao,
at the
right?
End. Yeah.
Yeah, and Zhao is her rival, and you team up
She's
at
trying
end.
To kill him because she thought he killed her husband, right?
Fiancé. But yes.
Then you find Atlantis.
It's better than Final Fantasy, which is my other... Oh, I guess there's also Super Mario RPG, which is probably a better frame of reference RPG.
You think it's better than Super Mario RPG?
I think so, yeah.
Super Mario RPG is more focused and has a much better combat system. It does not have all the bells and whistles of trading and multiple characters.
Does Super Mario RPG
and T-Rexes
let you affect world economy?
No, it doesn't.
Like, I really like the aspect of it. It actually feels more like the game was designed for trading, but then they thought, oh, you know what? We can probably
shoehorn combat in there, I guess.
Put piracy and combat in there, or you need combat to deal with trading, because...
I think it's more that they needed something to fill the time in between hitting ports. And they're like, you know what happened back then? People had their stuff stolen.
Combat. All right. So above Super Mario RPG, you have The Legend of Zelda. I think this should go above Zelda because they have similar goals. They're both about adventuring and exploring. And Zelda has more secrets for you to find and more interesting secrets. But this has
so more discernible
stuff
aspects
to do there. And like, if you just find like one port that likes silver and one that has it cheap, then you can make a trade and you can have that going for a while to fund further expeditions.
Well, you can also build up your fleet, right?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't get that far because I picked the wrong
I had the USS Food and the USS More Food because I needed ships just dedicated to feeding my people.
Weren't they not the U.S.? They wouldn't have been the USS.
I think I named them that.
Oh. Well,
mine were the fridge and the pantry, so.
There's so much in this game that you don't see right away.
Zelda's combat is way better, and I think its progression of dungeons is a lot better. But I think they have the same goal in Uncharted Horizons.
Does it better.
Fulfills it better.
I agree.
Next is Doom 2.
Oh, this game is so much better than Doom 2.
Again, the combat in Doom 2 is better. That's all it is.
You know, it's really weird how much time the combat in this game occupied for me and how much I liked it anyway, even though the combat is so bad.
And like with Zhao, you don't have to fight until the end, and that kind of sucks because you're like, I'm almost done. Oh man, I have to get in this fight with this crazy pirate lady.
I don't have any guns because I'm building.
There are also
like
five times in Zhao's campaign where you Looney Tunes style tie up the crazy pirate lady and throw her into like a bar and run away.
And then inevitably her henchmen come in and go, you got tied up by that kid again? What are you even doing?
All right, next we have Super Mario Brothers 2. That's a real platform that's surprisingly high.
I think this game is better than that one.
Super Mario Brothers 2 or The Lost Levels?
2.
Okay.
Turn-up game.
Doki Doki Panic?
Yes.
Okay.
I agree. I think this is better than Super Mario Brothers 2. It's trying more. The mechanics of Mario Bros. 2 are good, but they're not to the solid that it outweighs how terrible these ones are. This is actually, in a lot of ways, the opposite of ActRaiser, which had really good ideas.
That is a very good comparison.
But poor execution. This game has poor execution, but really good ideas. But the ideas are actually really good.
Well, a lot of the ideas, like it's specifically the combat system that's so bad.
You know,
the trading system actually works really well.
True. I feel like ActRaiser just wanted to be Civilization. Now that I think about it,
that would be a better game. All right, next we have Ogre Battle: March of the Black Queen.
I think this game's probably better than March of the Black Queen.
I agree. March of the Black Queen has better combat. It's not great combat, and it doesn't have trading. So above that is Ogre Battle 64.
I gotta stop it there personally, because I think 64 executed better than this one did on a level that it's hard for this one to compete with.
I kind of agree, and I like the idea of driving a wedge between them, but like if I had to play one, the thing is, like I was talking about earlier, Ogre Battle 64 kind of has replay value, but also not really. The replay value is in that the game is so long, you've forgotten the first level by the time you're done.
Not to mention how many of its mechanics are hidden in obscurity.
Yeah, whereas, but you've learned them now.
Uncharted Maybe. Waters has a ton of replayability, because it has three characters devoted to trading, and two devoted to combat, and one devoted to mapping. So when you're done, you can play one of the other
But
quests.
They're equally long games.
Kind of. It depends on the quest. Like, the Map the World guys is pretty short, and one of the other ones is also pretty short in Uncharted Waters. But, like, Zhao, who I played, is the longest, and I believe the Pirate Captain's is pretty long, too.
And also because I went to go try trading before I realized I could just capture ships and sell them. Oh, no. I honestly can't remember enough of Ogre Battle 64 to really make an argument either way.
Well, like
what's above that?
Super Mario Brothers, which is where I think mechanics... solidarity of mechanics finally outweighs the ideas.
It is certainly not above Super Mario Brothers, and I'm hard-pressed to argue for it.
That's why I think that Ogre Battle beats it out, because Ogre Battle has a lot of ideas that not a lot of things did or have done, other than its March of the Black Queen, but it took the mechanics that it already had and basically perfected them and streamlined them a lot. Yeah, it doesn't tell you about a lot of mechanics, but to be fair, this game also doesn't tell you about a whole lot of mechanics. It doesn't teach you basically anything about it, which is a similar problem. But
that's not necessarily a good thing.
Well, they're both fair. Like, Ogre Battle's basic mechanics are actually very similar. It's just when they start adding more stuff in, which is a similar problem this game faces. But Ogre Battle gets to streamline them a bit better because you're only looking at one thing.
Yeah.
And its combat is where it's focused, and that is where you spend most of your time, and its combat is actually good. Whereas in this game, you have combat, which is very bad, but you still spend quite a bit of time there.
I don't think the Ogre Battle 64 combat is actually good, but other than that, you've convinced me. I think it goes between 64 and March
if we compare them as games about exploration, Ogre Battle is a game about exploration in terms of finding out how to, like, upgrade people in a certain way and, like, who you talk to get resources. And
not quite.
I don't think Ogre Battle 64 is about exploration.
No, I'm typecasting it in a way that it isn't.
Yeah. That comparison works for Legend of Zelda because they're both about exploring this.
If Uncharted Waters is about exploring, I mean, you only need to explore once, and it's pretty simple, and it's the world we already know.
That's
so
true.
There's also that. But, like, if you've found everything in one playthrough, all that stuff's going to be there in another playthrough of it. You're just trying to get to those places.
Well, some of the discoveries will probably be different. But
actually, some of the world discoveries are randomized. So there are, 100 of them, and it generates 60 each time.
Didn't you discover, like, pterodactyls or something like that?
Yeah.
I didn't know that, so.
But I see your point. So, between Ogre Battle 64 and Ogre Battle SNES. All right, next is a game that I wonder if either of you remember. Mach Rider.
Oh, yeah. I do remember this. I forgot we played it for the podcast.
It's the first-person NES racer where there are barrels in front of you. You have to shoot.
You're on a motorcycle.
It's a cool idea for a game.
They're like shifting mechanics where you shift gears, and you basically always want to be in the highest gear, except when you're going so fast that you aren't going to run into a barrel otherwise.
Audiences cannot see me because this is an audio podcast, but I am making a very confused face right now because I
can't remember
this game.
I mean, it was hard to figure out at first for me, and it never really, even after I figured it out.
Apparently, I was so apathetic that this is a game I can't even remember existing.
I mean, as a game about motorcycles, it's certainly not Excitebike.
It has a bunch of cool ideas, but
I feel
like
it's
they're
so
poorly
implemented that it is hard for this game to be high in the
it's
list.
It's a game about being on a motorcycle with guns in the future, and it's boring.
Oh, I think I remember it now. It was boring.
But I'm going to start it at the other future racer we've played, F-Zero.
Yeah, that's actually the comparison I was going to make. And I think F-Zero is a more sound game about moving in a vehicle.
Well, I don't think this one had very many racing elements.
I have a hard time calling Mach Rider a racing game, even though you have a time limit to get to your checkpoint, because you're not competing against anyone except for people trying to kill you.
I think you aren't you? You can murder each other, and that's easier than placing, but I thought you had that placing.
If I was to play a game that was about murdering somebody else in a car, I'd probably be playing either Twisted Metal or Road Rash.
Games that came out 10 years after this one.
I mean, I'd be playing Burnout 3. So, that said, I remember F-Zero so much better than this game because it had so much more.
I remember it too.
A game about a post-apocalyptic future on a machine gun wielding motorcycle should be a much more memorable game.
All right, so below F-Zero we have ActRaiser.
Oof.
I kind of want to put ActRaiser above for all the reasons anything goes below ActRaiser. ActRaiser tried things. ActRaiser gets an A for effort.
I agree with Jeremy. I didn't play ActRaiser, but I think I've heard enough of ActRaiser that I feel like I've played it.
I can't argue for one way or the other on this one, so.
Next we have Gunstar Heroes, and then games get into the problem where they hit the co-op wall and usually get thrown below it.
Well, Gunstar Heroes is probably the best of the Eugenesis Games Syndrome games, so.
It's way below Strider, though.
That actually did have a lot. I mean, that's where we started talking about the Genesis game checklist, so.
From what you guys have talked about on Gunstar, because I didn't play it with you, I think that I'd have to go with Mach Rider being underneath Gunstar, just because.
Does it have homing bullets?
It does not.
Oh.
So then we have Legend of the Mystical Ninja, and it's really hard to put anything I don't pull it above Gunstar above Mystical Ninja. They're nodding in agreement.
Yeah, I mean, I.
Then we have Rise from Your Grave.
Okay.
Is it better than Rise from Your Grave? Rise from Your Grave has Rise from Your Grave.
I think it's worse than Rise from Your Grave.
You couldn't remember it.
Yeah, I could at least remember. At least Altered Beast evoked an emotional response. I think this one's just so bland because the enemies show. If I remember the right game, they just kind of appear on your rearview mirror.
Yeah.
They pass you. You kill them. Then you dodge the barrel and you keep going. Whereas at least Altered Beast had some more.
You can dodge oil
stuff going on. Like sometimes there were frustrating moments where the hitbox went a little wonky on it. But
I'd argue in the opposite direction because I like the gear shifting mechanics of Mach Rider.
Yeah, I think it's a better action game because in Altered Beast, you're like, I don't like using your example, Zach, but you're walking to the right. But in Altered Beast, you're like trying to get in the hit range because you have a super awkward one. And Mach Rider, you have the option of like trying to cut them off or like veer them into obstacles. Like if they're in, you can like sideswipe them into.
My argument is actually not from variety. But for mechanic, I feel like I am more effective in Mach Rider than I am in Altered Beast.
I wasn't super strong on Altered Beast versus Mach Rider, but you've convinced me Mach Rider should go above Altered
Beast. Altered Beast, I think, is actually one of the worst, I mean, even more so than Double Dragon, one of the worst beat-em-ups I've ever played, even if it's a better game, because I can't hit anything. My arms are so stubby. Yeah.
Altered Beast, for the time being, should stay in its grave.
So, Mach Rider. Above Altered Beast, below Legend of the Mystical Ninja. Next, a game that was not as good as its prequel, but is pretty okay, Life Force.
Oh yeah, I forgot about this game.
I did play this one.
Yes, it's also got co-op.
It's not Gradius.
It's not Gradius.
It's Gradius, not Gradius.
It's the Gradius sequel. It's a lot more intestine-themed. Like, the theme is more like you're in a person, like, going through.
Delicious, delicious Life Force.
It's got co-op. That's kind of cool, but you have to share options.
I feel like this game is so much worse than Gradius.
It really...
They just started throwing lots of stuff at you at the same time for no apparent reason.
You know, my biggest problem with this game is that it wasn't even fun. Like...
I thought it was a little bit of fun, just not compared to Gradius at all.
I didn't really like this one.
Even the co-op in this game didn't save it for me. It was kind of a mediocre space shooter shmup.
Okay, so definitely below Gradius. Let's go to Kirby's Adventure, though. Our bookend for boring.
it's too difficult with not enough going on.
I think it's better than Kirby's Adventure.
Well, I'm not saying it's worse than Kirby's Adventure. I'm just saying that my primary problem with it was so difficult that I was bored because, like, I'm starting and I'm dead.
What puts it above Kirby's Adventure for you?
I had more fun with it, honestly. I tend to prefer games that are a little harder. Because then
I tend to agree, want to try to get through.
They've challenged me. And that's the biggest problem with Kirby's Adventure for me. It doesn't challenge me.
My problem with this game is that the challenges didn't seem like things I could overcome by skill. And Gradius
had... You just had to get lucky?
Yeah.
See, I disagree. I mean, it wasn't nearly as good as Gradius, but I did feel like if I kept playing... When I played, I got better at it. Or at least I felt I did.
It also has the option mechanic, which
is a good
awesome.
Mechanic.
Yeah. Okay, I'll accept that argument above Kirby.
Okay, so next, Castlevania 2.
I can't argue for it above Castlevania 2.
Yeah, I don't want to argue about it above Castlevania 2. Castlevania 2 has RPG mechanics.
Castlevania 2 has more going on, I think, than this one does.
Okay.
So I'm going to have to say no. It does not beat it on mechanics alone. It had to do something else.
So Life Force, above Kirby's Adventure, below Castlevania 2.
That's what makes this list so weird to put together.
Games are hard to compare to one another.
When they're in vastly different genres.
I mean, Harvest Moon was pretty hard to play, so...
Yeah. All right, next we have our next sports game, Tecmo Bowl.
Oh, I forgot about
this
game.
I really like Tecmo Bowl, and I played the one where I had to insert quarters into my Wii. I told you about that, right?
They're going the SD card slot.
For whatever reason, there's a version on the Virtual Console that's the arcade version, milks you for quarters.
This is probably starting at a little low. Maybe not probably. But let's compare it to the other sports game on the list, Bases Loaded.
Oh, it's a lot better than Bases Loaded.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I feel it's more fun than Bases
Loaded. Even just the arcade one, which I played, which didn't let you pick your plays for whatever reason.
So in the interest of not going through everything, let's jump way up to Harvest Moon, and we can go up and down between the two. Because Harvest Moon is a weird...
What's above Harvest Moon?
Super Dodgeball.
What's below Harvest Moon?
Sonic the Hedgehog.
I feel like I had less enjoyment out of this game than Sonic the Hedgehog, even, so.
I liked it more than Super Dodgeball, but I'm also a football fan.
I definitely didn't like it more than
Super Dodgeball. Super Dodgeball was just more fun to me. Even if it wasn't really sport, I just get to bean people. I get to jump and throw balls at people.
Fireballs.
It has a physicality that this football game doesn't because it's on NES.
Spin around, dodge it.
Super Dodgeball was on the NES.
I think he was saying that a football game on the NES. Not games on the NES, period.
Like hitting people with a dodgeball feels good.
Yeah.
So
I'd have to say probably better than Harvest Moon. I think it's better than Sonic. Honestly.
Harvest Moon definitely peters out at some point.
Yeah, I think better than Harvest Moon, but I don't think better than Super Dodgeball.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm you guys
okay.
convinced me
so
with
between
your
between Harvest Moon and Super Dodgeball. That was a quick one.
Well, it's a good game, but it's it's pretty easy to place. I mean, we know what it does well, yeah. So we can compare it to games that do similar things.
All right, next on the list, maybe the newest game we've played on here. Maybe not.
Perfect Dark?
No, DuckTales Remastered.
I think that is the newest. I didn't really like this game.
Liked it, but I think I gave it a better review on the actual episode for it than it has stood up in my memory. Because I fully intended to go replay this game at some point, and I haven't even touched it.
I kind of agree with Tyler. I think it's good, but it's not great. It's a good platformer. The color is nice.
The music is fantastic.
And even listening to the NES version of the music, it's really good. But that's because DuckTales had really good music, and they just said, "Okay, thanks."
Well, I mean, they're all original tracks composed for the game, but...
So we're going to start...
I thought they had the theme song in there somewhere.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, at the very beginning. I meant the actual levels.
Okay.
We're going to start it really high, but because this was built on the Mega Man engine, we'll start with Mega Man. I do think it's worse than Mega Man.
I agree.
It's a little... It's more fun in some ways, just the pogo jumping's really fun, but at the end of the day, shooting things is...
better than pogoing things. Although Mega Man Zero is a game about hitting things in the face with a sword on the Mega Man engine, and it's more fun than shooting them, so...
Yeah.
But, you know, that's an argument
physicality.
For that day.
Pogo stick cane bouncing is funny, but not really.
In Zero, if you finish someone with a blade weapon, they, like, slice in half, and, like, anyway.
So right below that is another platformer, Super Mario Brothers.
Honestly, this is a... I mean, we didn't play the NES version, so I don't know how that stacked it up against it. This is a fairly mechanically sound game, and that's what we've been arguing for Super Mario Brothers being so high on the list for.
But I think Super Mario Brothers is more intuitive, also, because...
That's definitely...
The controls for getting the pogo stick were a little wonky sometimes.
Well, the fact that he had to continuously press it down and the pogo button every time he wanted
to. You would
have
on the original one. They added that in the remastered one where you could just hold it down.
Yeah, and Super Mario Brothers is intuitive. Of all the games Zach likes to criticize for being just go right, Super Mario Bros. Is the go rightiest. Whereas, like,
that is true.
DuckTales, the moon level, what do you even do? Like, the haunted house level. You can argue that they're more complex and therefore more interesting. But I think I'd argue that they're
I think
more...
the complexity hurts in this case because it does a poor job telegraphing what it wants you to do.
It's also got the problem of they do stack some stuff in where your aspects are, I can pogo on you, but then they're in such a weird location that you have to figure out a way to get them out from underneath whatever they're hiding underneath so you could get rid of them.
I mean, that's an arguably interesting way, it's a puzzle to defeat your enemy, but I don't think it was intended to be that.
All right, so I'm going to drop down to the next platformer on the list, Super Mario Bros. 2. Surreal, it's got turnip mechanics, and you have different characters with different strengths. Floaty Peach, yay.
So my problem is, even though there are so many weird things going on in Mario 2, I feel like the, five levels in DuckTales...
Yeah.
Felt way more different between each other.
That's true. They have very distinct themes, and they do different things on the different levels.
I have a hard time really arguing in favor of either.
I kind of agree, but I would lean towards DuckTales, although honestly, it's kind of just for the graphics, which the original wouldn't have had.
No. Oh, I mean, it had these. Although, it definitely has better music, even on the original. So.
Yeah, but, the graphics of the original are good, but Super Mario Bros. 2 has really good graphics for an NES game.
And it's way better than this, even on the original one.
Yeah.
Alright, so assuming you're looking at the original of both ones.
Variety of
which
enemies
one would you rather
in
be?
DuckTales.
Which one would you rather play if stuck in a room? Assuming the original, because the DuckTales does have a little bit of an advantage.
So if I had to spend, 30 days... I would prefer Mario 2 because it's got so many more levels.
It's hard because, Mario 2 is the first game I ever bought. So I have so much nostalgia for it, but I think I would rather play DuckTales. So you are the tie-breaking vote, Zach.
I was trying to avoid that.
I was going to end that statement with, but I think I would prefer DuckTales if I just had to, pick one to play.
Okay, so above Mario 2 we have Ogre Battle March of the Black Queen.
Well, I thought we were putting it above Mario 2.
Yeah, so above Mario 2 is Ogre Battle March of the Black Queen.
Oh,
so.
I think I'd rather play March of the Black Queen than DuckTales.
I think I might too, actually.
I think I want to play DuckTales, but if Tyler, if you think putting it with Mario 2 feels right to me, I would like to put it above March of the Black Queen and drive a larger wedge between it and 64, but if you think it goes below, that's where it will go.
I personally just think there's more going on in March of the Black Queen because you have the... The classes are still there. The Ogre Battle stuff is still there. This is just, I'm jumping on a
pogo stick.
I mean, it's not the most solid platformer. On the other hand, March of the Black Queen is not the most solid RPG, so...
But it was trying something new.
That it is certainly a unique game that is definitely in its favor. So, I think I'll have to agree with Zach on that.
Okay, DuckTales Remastered. Above Super Mario Bros. 2, below Ogre Battle March of the Black Queen. All right, now a game that like I kept meaning to go back and play, and man, maybe one day I will, but almost certainly not.
Fallout?
Secret of Mana.
Yeah, this game was
a very mediocre RPG.
I mean, it was like one of the first action RPGs, but it was not nearly as good as I remembered it being, so...
It's just so hard to get into, and...
Like, the combat is pretty weak.
I like the ideas, but it's just not fun.
I didn't really like my character. The start of the story was kind of
They took
to me.
Secret of Mana, and they made better games on the same concept. By the same company and the same console. So
let's start with a game similar to it that came out long before it, The Legend of Zelda.
The original?
Yes.
You know, I beat The Legend of Zelda, and I didn't beat Secret of Mana when we played for the podcast, but like...
I didn't beat either one.
I don't know. I think I like Secret of Mana better.
I feel like Zelda is more immediately engaging. I mean, it does just drop you in a world and say,
it's
hey,
it's dangerous
go.
To go alone. Take this.
Yeah.
It takes you a while to get started in Secret of Mana.
And I feel like Secret of Mana is slowing you down. It's like,
you have to grind, too. And I spent a while mastering everyone on every weapon, and I don't know why.
In Zelda, you can get lost, but nothing is really getting in your way except for your lack of knowledge about where to go.
I've criticized Zelda's map a lot and Zelda's map screens.
It's more comprehensible than Secret of Mana's.
It is not throwing up immediate barriers to me doing anything like Secret of Mana was.
I think why Secret of Mana is so good in my head is because there are a lot of good concepts there, but they are poorly implemented. It has the ActRaiser problem of cool ideas but poor execution.
So below Legend of Zelda, another JRPG, Super Mario RPG.
I argue that this game is almost certainly worse than Super Mario RPG. I
agree. So let's see, next RPG-ish game on the list is Castlevania II Simon's Quest. Again, a game that has a lot of okay ideas, but is not very well executed. Yeah. But I want to argue for Castlevania II for the same reason I argued for Zelda, which is, it's more immediately engaging. Again, it's more confusing than Zelda, it drops you in a town with even less knowledge about what to do.
I agree with this.
I think I'd prefer Secret of Mana, because while it does throw up barriers... You do know what you're doing. Generally speaking, your characters are
present. That is true.
Generally speaking, you know what you're trying to do. Characters do exist where they don't really in Castlevania 2. It's a terrible night to have a curse.
There's definitely more character in Secret of Mana, but I kind of don't care. They're not characters I'm interested in. The story does not engage me in Secret of Mana. I don't care what happens next, and therefore I think it is worse than no story.
I mean... Can we just pretend this game is Tales of Phantasia and put it at the very top of the list?
Nope.
Oh, okay. I actually agree with Castlevania 2 over Secret of Mana. If we're basing them on RPGs that are trying fairly new elements for their time, but failed in execution, I think Castlevania 2 failed in execution slightly less. So
next RPG on the list, Final Fantasy. And I don't even want to put it above Final Fantasy.
No. I can't.
Again, Final Fantasy starts you faster. It lets you customize your party.
Wait, you don't want to put it above Final Fantasy?
No, I don't.
I think I might, actually.
Okay, so why do you think it's better than Final Fantasy?
I enjoyed playing the game more, so, I mean, that's a visceral response. Yeah. So I think the mechanics, while they certainly hamper you in Secret of Mana 2, do not hamper you nearly as much as the combat in Final Fantasy.
Okay, yeah, the combat in Final Fantasy is really slow.
I honestly found the story of Secret of Mana 2 or Secret of Mana more engaging than Final Fantasy, because Final Fantasy is save the world, light warriors, and then fetch quest. And it seems like I'm constantly distracted from my purpose of saving the world. Secret of Mana is, you know, kind of save the world from running out of life energy or something. But I at least get to see interesting set pieces, and there are no interesting set pieces in Final Fantasy.
You don't want Elf Village?
That looks exactly like human castle town.
Oh, no, it's more green.
Exactly.
Okay, I think you've convinced me. So right above Final Fantasy is Punch-Out. I like the combat in Punch-Out more than I like Secret of Mana.
I actually would really like if Punch-Out had multiple weapons and you could play this game like that, where like all enemies just had a pattern.
You can cheat.
That'd be really cool.
All right, so cheat Secret out. Of Mana above Final Fantasy.
Just have a chakra tied around your boxing glove.
brick.
Now a game that might be a contender for bottom of the list, we will see.
Ooh.
Operation Wolf.
Oh, God.
Oh, is this that a
light
super
gun
scope game?
Without a light gun.
Yeah.
oh man, this is a bad game.
I think this would have been a bad game with a light gun. It would have been more tolerable with a light gun, though.
I mean, Duck Hunt, which was like the demo game for the light gun, was way better than this. So,
all right. So
I think Jeremy's right. I think we found a new bottom tier.
Double Dragon. Is it worse than Double Dragon?
I had more fun with Double Dragon. So I at least got some jokes out of Double Dragon.
You
got
to fight a Bobo?
All right. I didn't play Double Dragon.
Operation Wolf, number 50, below Double Dragon.
We have a new champion.
For worse. We have a new ultimate loser.
Now a game that I think is maybe contender for top of the list. I don't think it belongs there. Next, we have what I think is the best 3D platformer of all time, Banjo-Kazooie.
Fetch Quest.
I like Mario 64 better.
And we will get there, and we will have that debate. And there are strong points on both sides.
I have problems with the entire genre, which is fine to the
I mean, that was kind of the genre.
I know.
But, like, what's wrong with that? How is that worse than shoot the
At least I'm engaging when I'm shooting at everything, when I'm
But in 3D platformers, you get to jump on things.
You get to jump on things. You get to solve puzzles.
I can do that in Halo. I can jump on things.
And kill them?
Yes.
Kill them by jumping on them.
No. Why would I do that? I'll jump on them and punch them in the face, and I'll kill them that way.
But I can throw my bird in a backpack at things.
I can use my hammer.
That's a good point.
And use the
hammer or bird beak.
the ancient tagline, which was given to us by an ancient hero. Stop! Hammer time!
But in Banjo-Kazooie, you can take Kazooie out of your backpack and hit people with him.
Is that in this game?
No, I think it's in 2E, actually.
I can get a sword.
Instead of that. Yeah. I mean, they're equally effective, right?
Wait, which
one? Is a little more cartoony. A sword versus a Breagle. You know, the ancient fencing art of Breagles.
We're off topic pretty significantly.
How about Ogre Battle 64?
You want to start there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I prefer Ogre Battle 64 to this
I feel
thing.
Like that's in the top third still,
yeah,
right?
It is. It's number 12. Yeah, I like this more than Ogre Battle. I'm trying to come up with reasons. The reason I didn't want to start with Ogre Battle 64 is because where are the points of comparison? They both sure are N64 games, aren't they?
Okay, so maybe that's not the best place to start.
But, like, we don't have any other 3D platformers on here.
Well,
so.
What's another game where you're looking to explore
how about Mega
and
Man
find
X?
Stuff?
Actually, let's start with Doom 2, because it's in 3D. It's not really about exploring and finding stuff. But there is stuff to find, and you are exploring 3D spaces.
I like Doom. I like shooting things. I think Banjo-Kazooie is probably better than Doom 2 by a wide margin.
Yeah, it added a lot of stuff. Finding your moves, which actually ends up kind of being a chore in, like, the metagame because you don't have earlier moves, but, like, it is a new collectible, and...
Well, that's my problem with the genre in general. It's all about finding the collectibles of everything. There's, 900 on every level.
Nuts and Bolts criticized earlier games in the franchise for that exact thing, and I'm not sure that its criticism was...
I think Banjo-Tooie really suffers from that. To me, the reason I think Banjo-Kazooie is the best 3D platformer is I think it hits the collectibles at exactly the right point. There's the one super important collectible that's 10 per level, the one lesser collectible that's 100 per level, so you get lots of little progress towards it, the 5 of this equals 1 of big thing collectible that's on a level, and then the other collectibles are just ammo.
Yeah.
And then moves are sort of a collectible, but then sort of not really.
I mean, I feel like this game is easily above Doom 2, because Doom 2 suffered from such poor level design compared to
and
its predecessor.
Yeah, and they're like... We added stuff. What did you add? We added a double-barreled shock.
Yeah.
How's it different from the other one? It uses twice as much ammo and does more damage.
And then skip over Ogre Battle 64 just because they're bad to compare and go to the one right above it, which is Super Mario Brothers still, because they're both platformers at least.
I mean, yes.
I think Super Mario Brothers is just better designed.
Yes and no. Like, that is the argument we always use for Super Mario Brothers.
Okay.
And...
Here's my reason why I would prefer Super Mario Brothers. Super Mario Brothers, I have a clear goal. It's get to the end of the stage and beat Bowser if he's on that level. If it's a level, Bowser's there. But
otherwise, you raise the flag of communism for the people and move on.
Yes. But in Banjo-Kazooie, one of the things that I have never cared to do, and this is me, I don't like scouring a level to find every little thing that I can so I can progress to the next stage.
But that's
like
where the dopamine checkbox gets checked off and the delicious dopamine floods through your brain.
Yeah.
When I hit that point in Mario, when I'm playing Super Mario, and I hit that flag, that's what I get.
That's also dopamine.
From that. I don't get that from, I gotta spend 2 hours on this 5-minute level to find every little thing that they hid throughout this level. To me, that's boring.
I really like that.
I like that. And like I've said, I think Banjo-Kazooie is the best example of it.
I hate this argument, but Banjo-Kazooie is 3D and Mario is 2D and therefore has infinite more possibilities.
Yeah, I don't want to use that argument.
But the distance of levels for Mario and Banjo-Kazooie, Mario's levels are longer. Banjo-Kazooie's occupy about the size of your house.
Yeah, Mario's levels vary in length quite a bit. But...
And also another reason I think Banjo-Kazooie is good is I think for those scour the world and find things games, smaller levels are better. Because the more you have the scour, the more empty space with nothing to find is. And that is frustrating.
Well, it's the same. There's still going to be an awful lot of stuff to find. Then having to find my next level is also very annoying.
I mean, you don't have to find. You have to find enough things in the first level to get the next level.
And I'm actually not sure if that's a good idea. Find where the next level is.
Oh yeah, I forgot. I
feel like the castle does a fine job of funneling you to the next level until the end of the game. Like the last 2 or 3 levels are a little tricky.
I mean, thinking about this game compared to Banjo-Tooie, I don't know why I ever thought Banjo-Tooie was a better game.
Yeah, but we haven't played that yet. Super Mario Bros. Is hard to compare to because Mario Bros. Is really well constructed, but so is Banjo-Kazooie.
I feel like Banjo-Kazooie does so much more and is equally well constructed, but...
Okay, no, I think you're right. So right above Mario Bros. We have Mega Man.
The original Mega Man?
Yeah.
Hmm.
A game that's Mario Bros., but also you shoot things. Which is a
such
surprising
game.
Amount of added complexity.
I mean, you shoot things in Banjo-Kazooie, although the shooting mechanics are pretty awful, so...
Yeah. That is one thing Banjo-Tooie does better, has much better shooting mechanics.
Well, anything relating to combat, Banjo-Kazooie does pretty poorly.
The punching and tackling is fine. It's not a great mechanic, but it's a way to get enemies out of your way.
I mean, I still find Banjo-Kazooie more interesting than a lot of early NES platformers.
Okay. Next is Mega Man 2, though, and I kind of wonder if it's the wedge that should go in between those two.
I would be okay with that.
Because Mega Man 2 feels better constructed to me. The power-ups are much better than in Mega Man, and that's really the thing that pushes it over.
I'm okay with this.
Okay, and that puts Banjo-Kazooie at number 10, which seems kind of right to me. Oh man, this next game. I want to like this next game. I really do. It's groovy. It's Earthworm Jim.
I mean, this...
I like the concept.
I want to like it.
It's got really cool theming, and, like, it's a space worm. It's...
Apparently the ending is against a goldfish.
Yeah.
The final boss is a goldfish.
So that's the guy you chase through the space levels.
I thought that was a chicken.
Is it a chicken?
I don't remember.
I thought the race was, like, a chicken or something like that.
I thought it was a goldfish in, like, a fishbowl spaceship. I don't know.
Well, apparently the game ends with you just pushing the bowl over and killing the boss that way.
So it's got a lot of fun and funny ideas, but it's a boring game with terrible level design.
I understand why this was popular in the early 90s.
The level design is so bad.
It's really bad.
It would be fine if it was the combat and everything else worked the same way, but the level design is so bad.
Is it Sonic bad?
Actually, I think it's ActRaiser bad. I think that's where we start, because again, ActRaiser has ideas, but...
And ActRaiser's level design funnels you, at least.
ActRaiser's level design is actually okay, I think.
It's mostly that the mechanics of the game are completely at odds with the levels that they give you.
And I feel like Earthworm Jim's mechanics are bad, too. But Zach kind of disagrees from what he's saying of the... It would be okay if the fight mechanics were the same, if the levels were better.
They're not stellar, but they work for what it does. They do have some problems in that they don't have good hit feedback.
They're not bad in the same way ActRaiser is bad, because ActRaiser gives you hit feedback. It's just inconsistent hitboxes.
I mean, Earthworm Jim suffers... I mean, it was on the Super Nintendo in addition to the Genesis, but Earthworm Jim suffers from the Genesis problem. It's poor hit feedback. It's mostly running on the gimmick of it's pretty and look, fart jokes.
Yeah.
So...
I think below ActRaiser.
Yeah, I can get behind that.
All right, now the gauntlet of games Zach hasn't played. Actually, we'll skip right down to Mach Rider, because Zach's played Mach Rider.
I think it's better than Mach Rider.
I think it's better than Mach Rider.
Okay, I wanted to say worse, but I will trust your better judgment. So... Then those two games Zach hasn't played, Mystical Ninja and Gunstar.
Can something drive a wedge between the co-op hit squad?
No, I don't think so.
No,
I think it's worse than both of them.
I agree.
Okay.
Something will eventually drive a wedge between the co-op hit
squad.
We'll see.
I don't know if it will. Honestly,
I think it'll be another co-op game that does.
Maybe.
Two mediocre games.
I don't know if we've played any other bad co-op games.
But what if it's not a co-op game and it's just a mediocre game but better on its own? And
okay, it could be. Okay, so Earthworm Jim under Legend of the Mystical Ninja. Above Mach Rider.
I mean, Perfect Dark, but I feel like Perfect Dark is way better than either of those two, so.
Okay, next we have another good game. Or at least pretty good. Super Mario Bros. 3, the one Zach likes.
Oh, I actually like this game.
It's better than all previous Mario games.
It is. It's
agreed.
It's in the very contentious title for best Mario game of all time. So
I'm not sure I'd argue that it's definitely in the top.
Oh, it's in the fight. Me, I don't think it's the best. I think it's in the fight though.
It's still got its gloves on.
So we start it right above Super Mario Brothers. Better than Mega Man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Better than Banjo-Kazooie?
I think so.
Yeah, actually, I really like this game. So. Yeah.
Better than Mega Man 2?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I was going to dig my heels in, but yeah, I just got steamrolled.
I mean, you can make an argument, but...
I don't think I'm... No, you agreed too quickly. I don't think I can argue against
I'm always open to hear an argument.
I think Mega Man 2's power-ups are more cool than jumping on stuff. I think the Metal Blade is better than jumping on stuff. But the Karibo shoe is cool, and Giant World is so good, and the battleship level at the end is good. So, like, there are lots of reasons to put it above.
I mean, this isn't a particularly pretty game, but just, like, looking at this game enthralls me for some reason, and I don't know why.
So then we have Metroid, and it's lack of a map, but it's
cool mechanics. I would prefer to play Mario 3.
I would, too.
Okay.
It's a really solid platformer.
And then Super Smash Brothers.
I would rather play Mario 3.
I've spent roughly equal time playing these games, so I don't know.
I can't believe I just said I'd rather play a Mario game over something. I'd rather play Mario 3 than Smash Brothers, as weird as it sounds. I think part of that is I can get it on my Game Boy.
It feels a little wrong, but I think I want to put it above Smash Brothers, too.
I'll accept that.
It's really solid.
I don't have an argument in favor of either of these.
Then we have Gradius. Is it better than Gradius? No, stop. I want to see Tyler's internal struggle.
Yes.
Yes.
I think so.
I actually agree. I think it's got better color and more... It presents you with more ideas over a longer period of time.
And I think it's a more fair game. If you die in Mario 3, you at least get a chance to come back from your horrible death.
Then's Mega Man X.
I think I might have to dig in my heels here.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's better than Mega Man X. Mega Man X has wall jumps.
I mean,
it's not the wall jumps. It's just that
they're very
it's got a lot of
games.
More interesting mechanics in it than Mario 3 does. I mean, it's very solidly designed.
I feel like X beats Mario 3 for the same reason Mega Man beat the original Super Mario Brothers. You can shoot.
Okay. All right. Another sequel to a beloved platformer franchise that might rank pretty high. I don't think it will rank as high as Mario 3, though. Sonic the Hedgehog 2, a.k.a. the good one.
I like this game a lot. I knew something felt wrong when I first played it. I'm like, this game is a lot worse than I thought it was. What happened to my childhood? I am rose-tinted goggles, like, serious. But no, wrong game. I was playing the Master System version.
Yeah,
I really like this game. I think it is very solidly designed. They built the levels around moving through them more quickly than precision platforming.
The level themes is cool too. The level themes are cool too. Like,
I mean,
it suffers from the Mario games.
Sonic game problem where they use the same music for all the stages in a world, but I don't think that really hurts it that much.
It's a lot better when there are only two levels in a world, whereas Sonic 1 had three.
I mean, I really liked this game compared to the first one.
Level 2 does suffer from a problem. The factory level does slightly suffer from the problem that you can fall and lose progress.
It's got more
dying,
of a... But my problem with level 2 is it's kind of a difficulty spike problem because it's harder than level 3 or 4, in my opinion.
Or 8. Like oil land or whatever.
Yeah. But this introduced Super Saiyans, I mean Supersonic, and Tails, which are cool. And, like, the ending is good. It's a good game. It definitely beats out Sonic 1.
It definitely beats out Kirby, I feel.
I'm going to start at Super Mario Brothers. Do we feel it beats out Super Mario Brothers?
I think it does.
I think it's better than the original Super
Mario. Yeah, I think it's more fun. Just the speed mechanics are cool.
They really capitalize on the assets they had.
Do we think it's better than Mega Man? Which has shooting stuff.
Yeah.
I think it is.
Spinning into stuff. Okay, yeah, I agree. The bonus levels are cool. There's lots to do. Banjo-Kazooie.
I prefer Sonic.
Oh, no.
My gut says no. I like Sonic, but my gut here says no. The end of Sonic gets a little BS-y with the no rings forever and really hard jumps.
And the final boss. That's
I
like
didn't
five
get that
stages.
Far, but honestly, I would probably prefer to play Sonic just because I do have a goal. I can master that. I can get through that. It's the mastery thing you were talking about earlier.
Yeah, no, master. I think it was on a masterable game.
You can master that game. Banjo-Kazooie, I don't think feel it's you very can masterable. Master. You can find everything, but then you know where it
it's
is.
Masterable it's on a speedrun level, because once you know where everything is, you can do an optimization puzzle of what's the fastest way through this game.
Yeah, it's a memorization game more than a skill mastery, and yeah. I generally prefer skill mastery.
Okay, so you think above Banjo-Kazooie?
On the argument I just made, apparently.
Okay. So Mega Man 2, does it crack our top 10, guarded by Mega Man 2 currently?
I don't think so.
Yeah, Metal Blades are cool. As much as I love Sonic, I'm turning into a Super Saiyan. The Metal Blade is good. The jump power-ups are cool.
Yeah, say so all the things they did with Rush.
Yeah. Well, that's Mega Man 3.
Is it?
Okay, yeah, Mega Man 2 has
this one's just the unnamed jet.
Item number one, thing. Item number two. And
is this the one with
three.
Airman?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
I could have probably beaten at least the last guy on that level on that game, except for the fact that I didn't know what any of my damned items did.
There is that. And it doesn't name them, which is definitely a poor choice.
Okay. So we have room for a couple more games this episode. Another low shooter, since we've just had two crack the top 10. Prince of Persia. The rotoscope.
Oh, God.
Can we just pretend this is Sands of Time and put it at the top of the
nope.
list?
Can we pretend it didn't exist?
Also, no.
I mean, it's...
I honestly think we've got another contender for bottom level.
I'm not sure it's that bad.
I am.
Yeah, I kind of am too. It's really
there's
boring.
There's a problem when you put too much realism into a game that's all about jumping over large
What's
distances.
The bottom of our list now?
Operation Wolf.
It's better than Operation Wolf.
I had more fun with Operation Wolf.
Really?
Yeah.
There's I so almost little think to I do did in that game. Too, but like, I would rather revisit Prince of Persia. I had more fun with Operation Wolf, but I have no... There's nothing there. That's a rock that's I've already squeezed all the blood out of, and there wasn't any. Prince of Persia has lots of blood I could squeeze out.
I would rather go back to Operation Wolf mostly from the Prince's purely corpse. Because of the fact that in Operation Wolf, I can feel like I'm doing something and not have to be the most paranoid individual on the face of the planet, slowly working my way through something,
that's a certain amount of fun.
One pixel too far forward and fall 10 feet and die.
So at some point, I started to like, I think almost as kind of a masochistic tendency, I started to like the inching through levels.
And that's why I like Castlevania, but I don't like this game.
Well, the problem is this game punishes you so harshly for making a mistake.
So Double Dragon. I think it goes below Double Dragon. Dragon has cool fighting mechanic bros and a Bobo. Okay, so Prince of Persia does not quite make the bottom of the list, but it gets close.
If that one didn't beat Operation Wolf, I don't think anything will.
I think something will, but...
I can't think of what else we played that's...
It's close. Not one more, I think, for this episode, because I think this one, next one will generate a large discussion. We'll see. XCOM UFO Defense. A game I want to like. It's got some cool ideas.
I love its modern-day remake, but
I like everything about this game until you get to combat, and then I went to tear my hair out.
If I could figure out how to play it right, I probably might have liked it, but there was just so much...
It was a pretty
mediocre game. It didn't tell
me
anything.
It's way overly complex.
I said, I wanted to like it. Like, unlike Jeremy, I wanted to like this game, because I absolutely adore the game that came after it in XCOM Enemy Unknown, but...
Civilization is a game that's complex, but it masks a lot of the complexity from you, and allows you to... access that as an advanced
level. Well, this one
level.
Just has so many different things that you can that'll let you do, but it doesn't tell you what they do.
To me, the big problem is when there's one alien left on the farm, and you have no idea where he is, and you just want to find the alien, but you can't, like, go in guns wild because your guys will die, and they're a valuable resource. So you have to spend 30 years combing the farm to find that alien. I want to start our conversation at Harvest Moon.
Okay. I can see why.
I think I liked Harvest Moon more. I played it for longer. It's got less going on, but...
I didn't actually play Harvest Moon, but I think I'd prefer to play it because at the very least it'll tell me what I'm doing.
I think I agree, if only because the level of obscurity in this game is so much greater.
Next, I'll jump down another 5 games to ActRaiser, another ambitious game. I think I like it more than ActRaiser for the reasons I normally put games below ActRaiser is ActRaiser is ambitious. This game is a lot more ambitious.
I agree.
All right.
If you told you how to play it.
So dead center between those is Zelda 2: The Adventure of Link.
I want to say better on the same virtue that it's better than ActRaiser because it's got more ambition going on. And if it bothered to tell you how to play the game, it would be fantastic.
I don't think it would be, even knowing how to play the game. It's got a 100-page manual, Zach. to be fair, that it expected you to read. I think the game is boring.
I think there could be some fun in this game, and most people discount Zelda 2 as frustratingly difficult. I think this is frustratingly confusing.
Okay,
so
the question ends up being, better than Sonic the Hedgehog or worse than Sonic the Hedgehog?
Ha. This is such a weird game to compare it to.
It is.
That's how we've been all this list.
My gut says worse than Sonic the Hedgehog. I beat Sonic the Hedgehog.
That's true. I enjoyed Sonic the Hedgehog more.
Yeah. My gut says it goes above Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link, below Sonic the Hedgehog.
I mean, I can't even use the locked door test on this because, like, it depends on how long I was locked in the room. Because if I was locked in the room for 40 years, I'd play XCOM. If I was locked in the room for, like, a day, I'd play Sonic.
Hey, if you're going to lock me in this room with this game, can you at least leave me the manual? Teach me how to play it?
I can't make a strong case for it being above Sonic because I, like, kind of enjoyed Sonic and I found this game entirely meh-inducing.
Yeah, okay. So, like I said, above Zelda 2, below Sonic 1. All right, so that brings us to the end of yet another of these. 50 exactly left to go.
Holy crap.
All right, sometime around my birthday, we should be good to go.
All right, so next time and last time, more of this. I hope you enjoy it. This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games, copyright 2015. All the games, movies, and other media mentioned in the show are copyright their respective owners, in case that wasn't obvious. Past episodes, articles, and other information can be found at www.lasttimeonvideogames.com. If you'd like to contact us, send an email to ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com. If you'd like to find us on Twitter, we are @ltovg. We can also be found on iTunes. If you wanted to help us out, we would really appreciate if you left us a 5-star review. No extra lies were lost in the recording of this podcast.
Okay.
Now I want a romantic comedy trailer for Final Fantasy X. He's a guy from a mysterious future who plays on an all-star sports team. She's an old-fashioned religious girl on a pilgrimage to defeat Godzilla. When these two kids meet.
Uproarious laughter occurs. Okay.
And hidden father issues are discussed.
Oh, God. We're terrible.
Nah, this is great.
I think that's ambitious.
Hulk Hogan!